The University Tower chimes, ringing another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. Coming to you live from the lobby, the newly refurbished and renovated lobby of the McNichols Library on the McNichols campus of University of Detroit Mercy, to my right, from the Department of Philosophy, it's Professor Beth Olchar.
Good to be here.
As we continue around the table, Professor Kendra Evans is here from Chemistry and Biochemistry. Everything is well?
All is well.
So we heard about the ceiling tiles from Professor Jim Tubbs from the Department of Religious Studies.
Yes.
Professor Dave Chow is here from the College for Creative Studies.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Continuing around the table, Professor Jason Roach is here from the Department of Communication Studies, and it is very good to see you again at the panelist table. We've missed you a lot.
Thank you.
Continuing around the table, Professor Joe Abbasett is here from Communication Studies. Good to see you, Joe.
Thank you very much. It's good to be back.
Last but most certainly not least, a person who needs no cooperation.
Introduction.
Professor Heather Hill Vasquez from the Department of English.
Hello.
Hello. Folks, this is a program. You can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump our illustrious panel, you can win a prize. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp or find us on the Facebook. We got some questions from our old buddy, Mr. Dan Maggio, who couldn't be with us here today. What we have here is the eyes have it. Name these words that begin with the letter I. Someone crazy enough to try to forge an agreement between 45 and Kim Jong-un.
The interview.
Pretty close. They're talking about the title that someone would have to try to do that fact. He says here intermediary would be trying to bring those together, but you're really close, Kendra. You're really close.
All right.
The process of finding or estimating a value between two established values, he worked the math in somehow. What is the I word?
Oh, I know.
Inference?
Interpolation.
Yes, he was there.
Statistics term.
We'll have to interpolate.
Inference is drawing a conclusion.
Yeah. There we go. Going unnoticed in public.
Incognito.
Dun, dun, dun.
I was waiting for him to pull up the Royal Oak fashion store.
That's right. Several examples of these include hot potato, ball is in your court, curiosity killed the cat.
Idioms.
Elvis has left the building. They are idioms. Yes, absolutely. The only Greek letter that fits this category.
Iota.
An iota. Also known as a small bit of something. A line connecting points of equal atmospheric pressure.
Isobar.
It's an isobar, yes. And last but most certainly not least, a triangle with only two equal
sides.
Isosceles fish sandwich. That is correct.
Thank you, Dana.
Yeah, those were good. You guys actually set them on fire, actually. Holy smokes.
Tom may have come up with some of them.
Possibly. Okay, so this is actually pretty interesting stuff. You remember that way, way back in the day, our executive producer was the divine Professor Barbara Bowles. She sent us something through the mail from Gladwin, Michigan. Gladwin, Michigan. Neighbors, including the Hello Kitty Kayak Club.
Oh, gosh.
A bunch of ladies, their daughters and daughters-in-law, paddle around the lake regularly, live in Queen's Circle, a street that rims Lake Lancelot, got together one night around a fire. Talk led to the topic of war, because, of course, why not? Too many was the consensus. But just how many? This led to a lively conversation and many questions. So we're asking the profs what they know. Our question is, worldwide, how many wars or conflicts occurred in the 20th century? So they actually gave me the Wikipedia list of every conflict that happened in the 20th century. It's not actually that long.
So I got four so far. Five.
The big ones, one and two.
Korea, Vietnam.
Do they count Korea, or was that just a police action?
Korea is counted here.
35.
Are we talking U.S. only, or
worldwide?
It says worldwide.
I think we're talking worldwide.
Afghanistan, Soviets invading Afghanistan.
It's got to be a dozen of them in Africa.
Balkans War.
Are invading Afghanistan?
Yes.
Grenada. Kosovo? Balkans?
Yeah, Balkans War.
Somalia. There's a lot of civil wars.
Mm. Yeah.
Somalia,
it's 31 is what Wikipedia counts. 31 total. You ready?
Yes, 35.
We're going to do this in chronological order.
Okay.
1898 to 1901.
War.
Spanish-American.
The Boxer Rebellion. The next one is the Boer War. Okay. So I'm giving you guys that one 100%. 1904 to 1905, Russo-Japanese mm-hmm. War. 1910 to 1920. All sorts of fun for the United States.
10 to 20.
World War One.
Nope.
The Great Disturbance.
Oh. Mexican Revolution. Mexican Revolution.
Okay. Oh, okay. Okay.
12 to 13, First and Second Balkans. Yeah. 14 to 18, World War One.
World War One.
15 to 18, the Armenian Genocide. Mm-hmm. Counts as major conflict.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
1917 only, Russian Revolution. Followed by the next 3 years, the Russian Civil War. 1919 to 1921, in Europe, on an island.
On an island?
Mm-hmm.
Greece?
No.
Irish.
Yes,
rebellion.
The Irish yeah. Rebellion. Irish War for
Uprising.
Independence.
Yeah.
27 to 37, the Chinese Civil War. Mm. 1933 to 45, the Holocaust is termed a conflict. 35 to 36, the Second Italo-Abyssinian War.
Sure.
With Ethiopia.
Yeah.
36 to 39, I already gave it away, Spanish Civil War. That leads into World War II. 45 to 1990, hint, hint.
Cold War.
The Cold mm-hmm. War. Dun, dun, dun. 46 to 49, Chinese Civil War, the sequel. 46 to 54, the Indochina War, also known as the French Indochina War. Right.
Just Pre-Vietnam.
There we go. 1948, Israel's War for Independence. Yep. 50 to 53, Korea.
Korean mm-hmm. War.
Holy smokes. 54 to 62, French Algerian.
Sure.
55, 72, First Sudanese. Civil War, the Suez Crisis, the Cuban Revolution, mm-hmm. Vietnam, the Six-Day War of 67, yep. Soviet-Afghan, we heard. Interestingly, you guys didn't say all the recent ones. Iran-Iraq.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You
Persian,
said that, right?
I did. I apologize.
There.
Persian Gulf.
Sure.
Yep, Third Balkan War and Rwandan Genocide is the last one of the modern ones in the 20th century.
She didn't list 73, the Six-Day War.
Actually, I think I did.
Oh,
I think
six
I did. Six-Day War, 1967 is what
wasn't
it
there
says
another
here.
One? Yeah. There like an Eight-Day War?
Oh, okay.
So Lebanese Civil War, too.
There we go.
The 80s.
There we go.
Yeah. The time my wife and I couldn't decide dinner.
Mm-hmm. So the Hello Kitty Cat Kayak Club came up with World Wars, Korea, Vietnam, Arab, Israeli, Irish, Iraq, Afghanistan, Balkan, Mexican, Cuban, Ottoman Empire, Somalia, and the Boer War. That's all they were able to come up with. And a lot of the other ones were lesser known even by these professors. Barbara asks, please elaborate. What was each war's significance, impact, outcome, and such? Also, any interesting anecdotes?
Good grief.
Like, holy smoke, that is a wide category. I like the question.
After World War II, we got NATO, which is pretty much sustained.
That is true.
It's not that there haven't been wars, but there hasn't been a global conflict since.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's absolutely true.
NATO was established, and then...
And there's been a better way to provide multilateral intervention.
Intermediaries.
After we won the Cold War, apparently it didn't matter because, you know, our president is now willing to turn the country over to the Russians.
That is where we are right now. As a matter of fact, the list printed from Wikipedia was 5 August of 2018, so unless something you folks want to mention broke out in between... I think that it's pretty...
I'm sure that'll happen.
If I were living in Lithuania or Latvia or Estonia, I would be terrified.
Yeah, it's we're not in a good place right now. We are not.
Location, location, location.
That's right. Dear professors, once again, I am submitting questions to your show. Before getting to the questions, I want to pay you a compliment. A few weeks ago, I sent ATP a difficult set of questions about the 80s, and much to my surprise... The professors answered the questions with little difficulty. Gee, UDM sure has a lot of smart profs. Nonetheless.
Where are they?
None of them are on this panel.
Where are they? Come on over.
We're still looking.
I'm still sending a new set of questions in the hopes of earning a free mug. I like getting free stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This leads me to the general topic of today's questions. Are you ready? Frugality. The attached questions concern thriftiness, stinginess, etc. There are 10, and I'm setting the passing score at 80%. All the best, Alan Ira of Palm Springs, California.
Thank you, Alan.
Thanks for sending
you, Alan.
Alan. Let's see what we can do. He always gives good background. During the Gilded Age, also known as the Witch of Wall Street, due to her wealth and miserliness, who was known as the Witch of Wall Street?
Martha Stewart?
She was worth $200 million at the time, $4.5 billion in 2018
money. Mary asked, no.
During the Gilded Age?
The Gilded Age. Yes. She was so cheap, she purportedly never turned on the heat or used hot water and never bought new clothes. She made
Mrs.
her fortune
Scrooge?
With wise investments in stocks.
Holy mackerel.
Is her last name Clark?
Wall Street.
Nope. It says here her name is Hetty Green, Henrietta Green. I remember learning about her in
never heard of
talk
her.
About the Gilded Age, but that's a strike for the profs, so we'll only get one more.
Who'd she leave it to?
Yeah, good question. Very good
Where's
question.
The endowment?
Oh, my gosh. Which Major League Baseball player continued living in his 1978 VW van even after signing an MLB contract versus $2 million?
Daniel Norris.
It's Dan Norris of the Detroit
Tigers. Yes, yep. Originally of the... Toronto Blue
was
Jays,
Toronto,
I think.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Then moved his van down here.
Down
we don't know which river.
Down by the river. The poor guy's had some trouble these last couple seasons, unfortunately. Hoping that he gets well soon, as well as all the other aching Tigers. In economics, what's the term for a person who chooses to receive the benefits of a public good or a positive externality?
Tenured.
Without contributing to paying the
a
cost of producing those benefits. Yes, a free rider is what it's called. Woo!
That's
Thank
an actual
you,
term.
University of Auburn. A free rider. Wow. Yes. Oh, that's right. Yeah, absolutely. Who did Orson Welles purportedly call, quote, the cheapest man who ever lived, unquote?
Jack Benny.
No, no, but you're close. You're close.
Orson himself?
The cheapest
Samuel
man
Goldwyn?
Ever
not
lived.
Himself, not Goldwyn.
The
very,
Gallows?
Very family, famous movie actor from that time.
Clark Gable.
No.
Jimmy Stewart.
One of the most famous before we got to the point where we could hear movies.
Charlie Chaplin.
Charlie Chaplin.
Oh.
The great silent movie actor purportedly always allowed friends to pick up the check, and he borrowed carpenters from movie sets to work on his house.
Borrowed them.
Oh, there was quotes.
His granddaughter's an actor, too. I've seen her in Una Chaplin.
Oh, really?
A number of things.
I mean, I heard the name, but I didn't even make the connection.
Oh, yeah.
This is from Time.com's collection called Richest Cheapskates. Okay. There you go. You got all the URL that you need.
Donald J. Trump.
Right. In recognition of Professor Tubbs.
Oh, what'd you do
now? What portion of the Bible states the following? Do not eat the bread of a man who is stingy. Do not desire his delicacies, for he is one who is inwardly calculating.
Sounds like Proverbs.
Proverbs, spot on. 23 Proverbs, 6 to 7.
I was going to say, is the Book of Hostess?
Book of Cheapskates.
That little known book of the Bible.
One page.
Who purportedly coined the phrase, a penny saved is a penny earned?
Benjamin Franklin.
Yeah, everybody knows that one. That's just from history.com. In 1910, which actor portrayed Ebenezer Scrooge in a 17-minute silent adoption of Christmas Carol?
Douglas Fairbanks?
Francis X. Bushman.
No, no. I mean, you're
Valentino,
go
Chaplin,
into the,
Olivier.
Initials MM, and I don't, I'm sorry, I'm a little young.
Marshall Mathers.
I was going to say.
Marshall Mathers.
M.
It was not. Thanks for coming, Professor. Another.
Michael.
We'll see you later.
Malcolm.
What was it?
Michael.
It was not Michael. It was
Matthew.
Mark.
Oh.
It says here Mark McDermott. Sorry.
I hadn't heard of that one.
I don't know the name.
There goes the mug.
Yep. Which U.S. president said, quote, wealth can only be accumulated by the earning of industry and the savings of frugality, unquote.
Sounds like Herbert Hoover.
It does, but it was a little bit before his time.
Grover Cleveland?
Wasn't Cleveland. This is the one we talked about so many moons ago. He had a child so late that he has a very, very old current grandson.
John Tyler.
Like, Tyler.
Yes,
yeah.
It was Tyler, John Tyler. Oh. He has a 90-year-old grandson living in 2018 or something like that. Yeah. It's kind of weird.
Grandson.
Kind of weird. That's from cheapism.com. These are very well researched. Thank you very much for sending them
in. And he became president because of bad weather.
Something like that, right?
Yeah, he was Harrison's,
vice president. That's right. What's the name of the discount department store founded in 1948 by Eugene Freakful and Joe Zwillenberg? According to Wikipedia, the store was one of the first stores to challenge the suggested retail price provisions in an anti-discounting law.
What year was it?
It says 1948. Eugene Freakful
Freakful.
And Joe Zwillenberg.
Gimbals? No.
Is this not like Crazy Eddie's or something like that?
It's not. As far as I know, it's not still around, but it has the same name as a very famous model of car.
Franklin?
Mm-mm.
Ford?
It says here, it starts with the letter K, it says here it was called Corvettes.
Oh, that's
EJ
right.
Corvettes.
Yeah.
And they would challenge suggested retail prices.
They used to have one on Telegraph and Joy Road.
Wait, even around here?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know
that. Yeah, they
went
down Telegraph and Joy.
Seeing a Corvette with a K just makes me feel weird just in the beginning here. So, anyway.
My parents bought furniture from there.
According to a 2010 Daily Mail article, German scientists conducted a study that found there may be a stretch of DNA that causes people to become stingy. About 1 in 4 people carry the gene. What did they name it?
The Scrooge
gene. The Scrooge gene.
I mean, the Scrooge gene makes perfect sense, and it's definitely not what they called it.
Frugal?
Frugal. I mean, there's genes named after Sonic the Hedgehog, for Pete's sake. You know what I mean?
What, the tightwad gene?
Yeah, they called it the mean gene. For
what? Being mean and being cheap are two different things.
I agree with that statement. But, this is the mean gene, the DNA strand that makes people stingy.
I'm thinking Mean Gene Okerlund,
I'm thinking
WWE.
From WWE, that's right. So apparently we were stumped by Alan. So that's kind
nice job,
deal,
Alan.
If you think
it's
a
mug. He gets a free mug. Let's make him pay for the postage.
No, it's absolutely true.
Just kidding, Alan.
So cruel.
Please remit postage and handling.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, I have taped a dime to the inside of the letter. Or what was the old joke? It's like, I wanted to enclose money, but I forgot to put it in before I sealed the envelope. Uh-huh. Something like that, right? I can name that movie in two lines. Also, Charlie B. of Traverse City, 9 of 10 to pass.
Ooh.
Can you name the movie associated with the line that will be spoken?
We'll find out.
Mm-hmm.
About to find out. Look, Dave, I can see you're really upset about this.
Fight Club?
I honestly think you want to sit down. Yes, it was. Sit down calmly, take a stress pill, and think things over.
What was it?
2001.
2001.
A Space
Hell
Odyssey.
Oh,
Hell the Computer. Yes. I know I've made some poor decisions recently, but I give you my complete assurance my work will be back to normal. I've still got the greatest enthusiasm and confidence in the mission, and I want to help you. It's freaky stuff, man. Cinderella story, out of nowhere, former greenskeeper, now about to become the master's
Caddyshack.
Champion. Yeah,
Caddyshack.
It looks like a mirror. It's in the hole. It's in the hole. Caddyshack. Yes, absolutely.
Dalai Lama's got a great swing.
Rodney Dangerfield at his best.
Oh, my God.
So I said, Lama, how about Wilson for the effort?
Here goes the neighborhood.
There's something about mispronouncing it, too. It's like, Lama. Oh, that's great.
Marty Lever and I can have entire conversations that just consist of lines from Caddyshack and Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Wonderful.
And Ghostbusters. And no.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm not a huge Ferris Bueller fan.
I lived through the, you know, people said that I lived the Ferris Bueller lifestyle, so.
Just having some pizza, learning about Cuba.
Yeah.
Chanel, you are in desperate need of Chanel.
The Devil Wears Prada.
The Devil Wears Prada is the name of that movie. Way. Yes, that's Meryl Streep, if I remember correctly.
Anne Hathaway.
Anne Hathaway, So how about, I'll never do it justice because I am not a young female. They're here.
Poltergeist.
Poltergeist. There.
Oh. That, you didn't say it right there.
She's not alive anymore. She died at a very young age.
That's sad.
Two of the actresses, both of the actresses who played the daughters in that film, are the older one, Dominique Dunn, was murdered by her boyfriend.
Oh,
wow.
And then the younger one, Heather, who played the Heather something, who played the little girl, I don't recall how she passed, but she did. Very young age.
Crazy.
That's sad.
You got a love bite on your neck. He's coming back this morning. What's the matter with you? Your life's going down the toilet.
It sounds like Pretty in Pink or something like
that.
John Hughes.
You're in the
movie.
General area, but it's not John Hughes.
Is it a vampire movie?
It is not. No, this is a rom-com. At the beginning of the rom-com era, somebody won a Oscar in this movie.
Goodbye Girl?
Mm-mm.
Say, what's the name
again? I was
thinking
like Meg Ryan.
You got a love bite on your neck. He's coming back this morning. What's the matter with you? Your life's going down the toilet.
Harry Met Sally?
No, but you're getting close.
That's what I was thinking.
Is it a Meg Ryan flick?
It is a Cher movie.
Moonstruck.
Oh,
okay.
Moonstruck.
I'm in love with you.
I remember slap out of it. Slap out of it. Snap out of it.
I'm not going to get this one right at all, but I do. I am entertained by this movie, even though the lead actor sort of grates on me sometimes. You sit on a throne of lies.
Elf.
Elf is what it is. Elf.
Oh, actually, yeah. Will Ferrell reference.
Okay. Elf. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm thinking Little
Same
Puppet.
Actor,
that's all.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Elf.
Yeah.
Elf. I guess it's a stage show now. It's coming to Detroit in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
A couple weeks.
Yeah.
A couple weeks before Christmas or a couple weeks from now?
No, it's like early November. I mean, seriously, it's weird. Yeah. That really was a Hattori Hanzo. Katana
It's Kill Bill 1 or 2.
Volume 1, yes. Kill Bill.
Just watch both of them recently. Yes. Again.
Awesome movies. That's all I have to say.
Yes, they are.
Awesome movies. And I guess that was your accomplice in The Woodchipper?
Fargo.
Fargo, yes.
But the best line in that movie is when she's actually looking at a crime scene and she's bent over Frances McDormand's character. And of course, she's hugely pregnant in the movie. And one of the other cops says, well, have you found a clue? And she goes, no, I just think I'm going to barf. When William Macy gets up and runs away, she's like, he's fleeing the interview. He's fleeing the interview.
I get to graduate school, and someone I meet is from Stevens Point, Wisconsin. And I'm like, why do I know like where that is? And she goes, well, my best friend from high school was the cashier at the end of the diner scene where they're all paying the bill, and then the camera goes to the cashier, and she just kind of tilts her head twice. And I'm like, wow, I know somebody famous because that's your friend. It's just kind of interesting.
Well, I would have to question your detective work there.
I think it might mean dealer plates. Oh, that's such a great movie.
I'm the dude, so that's what you call me. You know, that or
Big Lebowski.
Big Lebowski.
His dudeness or duder or, you know, El Duderino if you're not into the brevity thing. Very nice. Very nice. I love it when you can do it before I can finish here.
These are the Little Lebowski Urban Achievers, and proud we are of all of them. The movie is so funny.
It's 106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas.
Blues Brothers.
Half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
Blues
Hit
Brothers.
It. Blues Brothers.
With Aretha Franklin.
Oh, my gosh.
We're on a mission from God.
I'm never going to be able to watch that movie the same again. Oh, that's so sad. Oh, man. The world is a different place today.
Well, necessarily.
Yes. Yes. Also, I cannot predict that the sun will come up tomorrow.
Well,
it's a good guess.
You can. You just can't know it.
You can't know it.
Let me know when you get to lottery numbers.
Professors, I recently spotted a promotional poster for the Mighty Thor comic book from the mid-80s on eBay, and it took me back to your radio show. Now, I can't show all the profs this, but it is really weird. The title of the Thor comic book is Oh No, What Have They Done to Thor? And Thor has been replaced with a big green frog.
Yes.
I've been a regular listener while living in the Detroit suburbs, enjoying the wit and laughter every Sunday night. Your panel would sometimes get the Marvel Comics trivia I sent in, and sometimes not. However, they were surprised to learn the unusual plot twist that had reduced the God of Thunder to a frog for about half a year, or regularly speaking, six issues. As a kid, I was so moved by this, I drove down to the university just prior to the taping of the show and attached a copy of the promotional poster showing Thor, God of Thunder, as a frog onto the door of the studio.
Wow.
I don't know whatever came of that poster, and I hope the profs got a good laugh. I moved away to Utah later that year and forgotten about the show until now. I Googled the show, found your sharing archive shows from 86, and what a delight to hear my old friends' voices once again. How I missed Ed DeWitt, George Pickering, Sarah, and all the others. I believe I still have the autographed photograph of the panel somewhere in my desk. Such good memories. I hope to share them with others via the internet. Sincerely yours, Kirk Greenfield from Athens, Ohio.
Aww.
Nice.
That's pretty interesting stuff. And here it is. Here's the picture of Thor.
Oh, Thor
cape
as the green
and hammer
frog.
As a frog.
Walt Simonson was the illustrator.
We got to get our archivist on what happened to that poster when it was taped up on the door to the studio, right?
How many decades ago?
1986.
I have that comic. Yeah. Don't laugh.
You have that
I
comic?
I have that comic.
What happens to Thor in that comic?
He got transformed into a frog, and it was right before.
Okay, wait. I picked up on that.
But that was right before they introduced the character called Beta Ray Bill, where, long story short, I remember that was the first instance in the Thor comic book where they actually introduced the chariot of goats that he has, too.
Wow.
I'm just that geeky.
There's so much stuff.
Do you and Drew. We got to put the two of you guys
so
in line somewhere together.
That was not covered in Infinity War Part 1.
No,
that's all
I got
to say. Holy smokes. Mr. Stark, I don't feel so good. I can't wait to work that into my lecture this year.
Robert Downey Jr. is so hilarious.
He
Tony
is so
Stark.
Good.
I mean.
So good. Although, to me, in that movie, you saw the movie Infinity War? Did you see Infinity from this summer?
I don't think I've seen that one. I was just thinking of the Iron Mans and the other.
Very disquieting ending.
Yeah, well, that is a different story, but the line is definitely right up your alley from the whole movie, Beth. Spider-Man, without his head covering on, meets Doctor Strange. And you are Doctor Strange. Oh, we're using our fakey names. I'm Spider-Man. Oh, I love it. I love
it. Speaking of that.
So good.
With great power comes great responsibility. I didn't know until I was watching Bill Maher the other night, and he was interviewing Kara Swisher, who is the editor of this magazine called Recode. That quote actually came from Voltaire.
Oh, well, that makes perfect sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
But I feel like such a dork. I didn't know that.
Don't most really good quotes boil down to either Uncle Ben or Voltaire?
I think, in fact, he wrote that to Catherine the Great.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Well, oh, my.
Because they
kidding?
Corresponded.
I have a slide in engineering ethics called my Spider-Man syllogism, right? With great power comes great responsibility. Right? Knowledge is power. Engineers have knowledge.
Makes perfect sense.
But I should have called it the Voltaire syllogism.
Well, you know.
Probably Spider-Man is going to be a better cultural reference.
Yes. I think so, even though you're literally bringing up a Spider-Man that was three Spider-Men ago. Wait, Spider-Man?
Wow. Spider-Man. Spider-Man.
I like to pluralize funny words. Seriously, though, that was Tobey Maguire.
2001.
And that was three Spider-Men ago. So.
Well, yeah, but
early 2000s.
Your students totally won't get that one.
Our students were barely born.
But wait a minute. This is like a known meme or fact
about
Spider-Man.
Meme,
it's not,
yeah,
it's not
no.
like you would only know that
right.
if you had seen the movie, or maybe I'm
wrong. Just afraid that if you say something like, do you guys know who Tobey Maguire is? And they say like, oh, yeah, isn't he somebody's grandfather?
No.
There was a really, really good post on that got blown up on Twitter the other night that was some partygoer at a club saying, I left when the DJ said, where are my millennials at? And he's like, well, I'm technically a millennial. He's like, no, we need people born in the year 2000. It's like, time to check out. Because that is our freshman this fall at the university, right?
Yeah, that's right. This is the first generation or first class born in the year in the 2000s, right?
Yes,
yep.
It is.
Oh, boy.
Which means they're not millennials. They're whatever we're going to call the next generation. But that is a completely different story, isn't it?
It's like Gen Z or something.
Generation Z, I've heard the plurals, because, of course, they're always looking at multiple screens. That corresponds to my children. I don't know if anybody else can chime in with that. But
not yet.
It's time to say goodbye. But we'll go backwards, starting with Professor Abbasid.
Bye-bye.
Professor Roach.
Adios.
Professor Chow.
See ya.
Professor Tubbs.
Goodbye.
Professor Evans.
Take care.
Professor Oljar.
Auf Wiedersehen.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter @AskTheProfessor or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page. Today's edition of Ask the Professor was recorded at the newly remodeled Detroit Mercy Library on the McNichols campus of University of Detroit Mercy. Our on-site engineers were Brian Masonville and Jared Gestenkors. And I'm Michael Jason, inviting you back next week for another edition of Ask the Professor.